Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Aqeedah class with myself, Abu Musa'ab. We are still doing the kitab known as Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyyah. We had last time stopped on this particular print of the book that we are using here on page 7, point number 39. For those of you who are new to the class, you can visit http://www.ummah.com/forum. In the Ummah Radio section of the forum, you will find a thread there called Monday Aqeedah and Hadith class. In there, you will find a download link to the kitab itself, so you can follow the class accordingly. And obviously, like I always say, if you want to follow directly just from the audio without using the book, that too is fine. Any case, without any further delays, to continue on. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. So starting from page 39, where we're supposed to start from, he says, wal mi'raj haqqun wa qad usriya bin nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa urija bi shakhsihi fil yaqaba ila as-sama thumma ila haythu sha'a Allah min al-ula. He says, and the mi'raj, the ascension of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is true, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had undertaken the night journey and ascended physically in a state of wakefulness to the heavens, to the sky, and then from there to wherever Allah Ta'ala had wished. So on this one point here first, you find there was the reason why this point has been put here as part of the Aqeedah is because there were certain sects that came about who said that the Mi'raj, the ascension, did not really take place in a physical state, but rather it was in a dream. So it is to reject this belief, because this is not our belief of the Ahlus Sunnah. As of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say that that Mi'raj took place, it was physical, real, life, bodily, not taken up as a spirit, but rather taken up physically in bodily form. But we do say that more than one Mi'raj basically took place, because you will find at certain times in certain ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I saw in Jannah, or this and this and things. But we know that this did not take place on the main Mi'raj. So what happened is that at times when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, there was an instance where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to sleep, and Allah took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam up like that in a state of sleeping in a dream form, like this in spirit form, and showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam certain things of Jannah. Then the Mi'raj itself took place in its, like I say, its actual physical bodily form. So it took place more than once. So therefore there is no contradiction between any of the ahadith and things which mentions, which seemingly contradict one another. Because like I say, it took place once in an actual physical bodily form, and at another stage in time it took place like this in a spirit dream form. Okay, then he continues on. He says, وَأَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَشَاءُ وَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِ مَا أَوْحَى مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَآ فَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ وَالْأُولَى. He says that, obviously after taking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam up to the heavens, and then from there to wherever Allah had wished, and ennobled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with whatever Allah wished, and revealed to him that which he had revealed, that ma kadhaba al-fu'adu ma ra'a, the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not mistaken in what it had seen. Fa sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi al-akhirati wal-ula, so the salawat upon and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the end and in the beginning. He continues on now, still dealing with Jannah and stuff basically. So he says, وَالْحَوْضُ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ غِيَاثًا لِأُمَّتِهِ حَقٍّ. It's part of our, forms part of our integral belief that the hawd, the pond where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, rather, the pond which Allah had ennobled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with, and granted it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam as a means of, as we say, giving water to drink for his ummah. This pond is true. It's factual. It's real. It's physical. It's not a figment of imagination or figurative speech or anything of the sort. Continuing on, he says, وَالشَّفَاعَةُ الَّتِي إِدَّخَرَهَا لَهُمْ حَقٌ كَمَا رُوِيَ فِي الْأَخْبَارِ. And the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had stored away for the believers, this or two is truth, like how it has been narrated in the narrations. The akhbar is here refers to the ahadith. On this point here, there are numerous types of intercession. There are different types of people who will be able to intercede, but when we talk about ash-shafa'a, when you use the term ash-shafa'a, intercession, unrestrictedly, then we refer to the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But like how a hafidh al-Qur'an, a person memorizes the Qur'an, he's able to intercede for 10 people, and a martyr is able to intercede for 70 people, and so on and so forth, all of these people, they all have the ability to intercede. But it is the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which is the highest of all intercessions, and therefore it has been put in a special place. Then he says, وَالْمِثَاقُ الَّذِي أَخَذَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مِنْ آدَمَ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِ حَقٌّ. And the pledge which Allah had taken from Adam alayhi salam and his offspring, this too is the truth, it is a factual thing. This refers to when, as this is also explained in the ahadith, you'll find that Allah had created Adam alayhi salam and then caused his entire offspring till the ending to come out in the, like you can say, in the size of small ants, and everybody was there at that particular time, and Allah took the pledge from everyone. Alastu bi rabbikum, am I not your Lord? This pledge when Allah had taken, and everybody responded and said, qalu, as the Quran mentioned, qalu bala, that everybody said, yes indeed, wallah, we bear witness that indeed you are our Lord. But obviously, as you can see, how many people today don't worship Allah? So, as you can see, what people had said and admitted to back then, people are turning around and rejecting that same thing today. Anyway, so that is the mithaq, the pledge which is being referred to. And then he said, وَقَدْ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي مَا لَمْ يَزَلْ عَدَدُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَعَدَدُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُ النَّارِ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدَةً فَلَا يَزْدَادُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْعَدَدْ وَلَا يَنْقُصُ مِنْهُ. He says, and Allah Ta'ala had known, without there being ever any change, that Allah had known exactly the amount of people who will enter Jannah, and the exact amount of people who will enter Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam, at one time. So there is no increase or decrease from that number. Basically, before anything, Allah knew everything. Before anything was created, Allah already knew it. Like how in one talk, Mufti Ismail Menk, he says, when describing the knowledge of Allah, he says, يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُونُ إِذَا كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. That Allah knows مَا كَانَ, that which has happened, وَمَا يَكُونُ, that what will happen, وَمَا لَمْ يَكُونُ إِذَا كَانَ, and that which has not, Allah knows those things which have not taken place. إِذَا كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ, if these things were to take place, how it would be. Even that much and far more than that Allah knows. So the knowledge of Allah is all-encompassing, and it does not, the knowledge of Allah is perfect. It does not change or increase or decrease, because changing, increasing and decreasing, this is a sign of a person being a creation and not the creator. He continues on with the same point, He says, وَكَذَلِكَ أَفَعَلُهُمْ فِي مَا عَلِمَ مِنْهُمْ أَنْ يَفَعَلُوهُ وَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ وَلَعَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ وَالسَّعِيدُ مَنْ سَعِيدَ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَالشَّقِيُّ مَنْ شَقِيَ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ. He says, similarly, Allah knows the actions of every person that he's, what exactly he is going to do. So, it's not, if I fall asleep right now, if I say A instead of B, or B instead of C, or whatever the case may be, then Allah knows all of this without there becoming any change taking place in the knowledge. If I feel I'm going to turn right here, but then at the last moment I turn left, Allah knew from eternity that Allah, that I was going to turn left here. So the knowledge of Allah is perfect and it never changes. So he's just continuing on with the knowledge of Allah to say that Allah, apart from knowing the amount of people who will enter Jannah and who will enter Jahannam, Allah even knows the obviously the deeds of every single person, what every single person had done. And وَكُلُّ مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, and everything, the person ease will be made for what a person has been created for. وَالْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, while the actions are judged according to its endings. So what this means is that if your name has been written as being from the people of Jannah, then an easy path will be made for you towards good deeds, and you will, inshallah, you will, so that you will continue on that path until you end up in Jannah. And obviously the other way around, to end up in Jahannam, you will continue on the path of evil in the similar manner. And he says, وَلَا عَمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, that the deeds are according to its endings. So it's of no benefit if a person, as you can say, worships Allah for 1,000 years, and then the last day of his life he commits kufr, then all 1,000 years of his is gone and is good for nothing. So what's important? Obviously, your whole life is important as well. But the amalu bil khawatim, the endings, is what is of paramount importance to make certain you end on a good note. Then he says, وَالسَّعِيدُ مَنْ سَعِدَ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ, that the fortunate, the happy one, is he who has been lucky with the judgment of Allah. Meaning, the fortunate, lucky people are those whom Allah had chosen for Jannah. While the shaqi, the wretched person, is he who is damned by the by the judgment of Allah. So the shaqi, the wretched person, is such a person whom the judgment of Allah upon this person puts him into Jahannam. So based on whether you are a Jannati or a Jahannami, that is what will decide whether you are amongst the fortunate lucky ones or whether you are amongst the unfortunate ones. He then says, on to the next point, he says, وَأَصُلُ الْقَدْرِ سِرُّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي خَلْقِهِ لَمْ يَطَّلِعْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ وَالتَّعَمُّقُ وَالنَّظَرُ فِي ذَلِكَ ذَرِيعَةُ الْخُذْلَانِ وَسُلَّمُ الْحِرْمَانِ وَدَرَجَةُ الطُّغْيَانِ فالحذر كل الحذر من ذلك نظرا وفكرا ووسوسا فإن الله تعالى طوى علم القدر عن أنامه ونهاهم عن مرامه كما قال تعالى في كتابه لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون الأنبياء فمن سأل لما فعل فقد رد حكم الكتاب ومن رد حكم الكتاب كان من الكافرين. In this point number 45, he says that Asl, the nature of what exactly is fate and predestination, this is the secret of Allah Ta'ala, which Allah Ta'ala knows only about His creation. No close angel or any prophet which have been sent have any knowledge with regards to this. Allah alone has this knowledge. So He says, وَتَعَمُقُ وَالنَّظَرُ فِي ذَلِكَ, whoever tries to delve into it and things, then that is ذَرِيعَةُ الْخُذْلَانِ, a person will fall into utter disgrace. It's like a ladder to being deprived, and it is a level of طُغْيَان, to become a, as you can say, not quite an oppressor, but basically it's like a sin that the person is falling into. Okay, basically it means you are like a tyrant and an oppressor and things like this when you when you try to make as though you know what fate and predestination is, or you try to understand it, that how exactly does this place. That's why it comes in one narration that man takallama fil qadari su'ila anhu, that the person who speaks on fate and predestination, he will be questioned about it. It's not our place to speak. So whoever starts saying, oh, you know, fate and predestination works like this and like that and so on and so forth, then in this case he will be questioned about it. For us, we believe simply that Allah says fate and predestination exists, so we believe in it and we leave it at that. So he says فَالْحَذَرَ كُلَّ الْحَذَرَ, so be very, very, very careful from falling نَظَرَ وَفِكْرَ وَوَسْوَسَ, from looking, pondering, having any thought in your heart with regards to qada, as you can say, the qadr, the fate and predestination. You leave all of this to Allah, because فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَوَى عِلْمَ الْقَدْرِ عَنْ أَنَامِهِ, because Allah Ta'ala had kept the knowledge of this fate and predestination away from the creation, وَنَهَاهُمْ عَنْ مَرَامِهِ, and prohibited them to try and obtain it. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى فِي كِتَابِهِ, like how Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ, that Allah, He will not be questioned about what He do, but rather they, the people, they will be questioned. So they, he continues on, he says, فَمَنْ سَأَلَ لِمَا فَعَلَ, whoever questions Allah and says that why did Allah do this, then فَقَدْ رَدَّ حُكْمَ الْكِتَابِ, then such a person has rejected the command of the book, meaning the Quran, and whoever rejects the law of the book, then he is from the disbelievers. I always say that you have a difference between asking and questioning, although you may open a dictionary and see them as synonyms, but there's actually a small difference between the two. A person asks you a question, or he questions you about something. The nuances of the words is not quite the same. What the implications behind it is different. One thing is, a person, like you can say with the question and answer session over here, a person sends in a question, I want to know, let's say, what's the ruling on performing salah without wudu, for example. That's asking. But now you say, why can't I perform salah without wudu? That's questioning. So slight difference between the two. So therefore, when you ask a question, there's no problem in it. But when you want to question Allah, then you are treading on very dangerous ice. So therefore he says that whoever want to now question Allah, obviously if a person wants to, we know that Allah says through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said in the hadith, that man badala deenahu faqtuluhu, a person who changes his religion, meaning he becomes a murtad, an apostate, then kill him. Now a person asks that why is the law of Islam on this? He asks, like I say, he asks, they don't question. He asks like this, that why is the law like this? Then this is a permissible question. The ulama have explained the whole thing. So this is, as you can say, an innocent question. But when a person come in, all modernist, deviant, kafir-like, and he wants to come along, why is this here? Why should an apostate be killed? And all things like this, this is what is being prohibited here by Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. Okay, so that was the end of point number 45 and the end of page 7. We are now currently on page 46 on page number 8. But inshallah, we will be stopping on this point here and we will continue next time again, inshallah. So until then, We will end here and we say, وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَبِحَمْدِهِ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ نَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.